Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
It's 7:04. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. Thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you along. Along with me is our producer, Logan Roush, Paul Perreault, and a special thanks to Rachel Sutton for her involvement today in putting our show together. Bill English will be joining us in just a few moments. Bill has written an article for the
Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal.
Yeah, Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal. And we're going to be talking about that in just a few moments. If you have a question or a comment for Bill, you can call or text us today at 877-933-2484. We'd love to hear from you. We heard a lot about McDonald's and the salads that they were having problems with. Well, apparently some of this is going around. Hy-Vee is recalling their spring pasta salad. People in Iowa who have Hy-Vee spring pasta salads can either return them or throw them away because they may contain salmonella. They issued a voluntary recall for their salads that came in 1- and 3-pound containers. Pardon me. They say the products have resulted in some people getting sick, including folks from Iowa. The salad containers have expiration dates from June 22nd to August 3rd. So it's not good news for salad or pasta, apparently.
No, but they're just moving up into the Minnesota area now, Hy-Vee is.
Quite a few stores. I think 4 or 5 right here in the Twin Cities. So we're going to have Bill English join us in just a moment. We're going to talk about something that I think you will enjoy. Bill spends a lot of time talking about family businesses. And so if you're in a family business or you own a family business, you will definitely want to turn up the radio dial. And then you can also join us via text or phone call at 877-933-2484. It's 6 minutes past the hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dick Whitworth. I long for Wednesday mornings, if for no other reason than to hear Bill English's walk-up music. That's so fun.
You know, how can you not like Huey Lewis? I mean, Huey Lewis, come on.
I'm not sure I like Huey Lewis. I just like that particular song. That is that is so much fun. Bill English, a good friend. He's a consultant with the Platinum Group, also a founder and editor of BibleandBusiness.com, where you can find a lot of these conversations. In fact, most all of them. In audio form, Bill is very, very busy, but he always makes room and time for us on Wednesday mornings. Great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I love being here. And boy, what a beautiful morning.
Isn't this great?
You know, I don't know for outside of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, but I walked out to my truck this morning and I just thought, oh, I'd like to just stay here for about an hour in the quiet, in the cool. Oh, it was wonderful.
This is the best week of summer.
Yeah. Summer's the 6 best days of the year in Minnesota.
I've heard that in experience. That is really true. Well, if you're just joining us, Bill has, he's talked to us a lot about family business. You really have a passion for helping family businesses. Some of them are very, very large. Some of them are very, very small. But that seems to be an area of interest and expertise for you, correct?
Well, it is. And it's an area of interest and expertise for a lot of professionals now, simply because roughly 65 to 70% of all businesses, irrespective of their size, are owned by families. So if you're not in family business, you're really not in the market. And, you know, back in the day, there was a guy here in the Twin Cities named Tom Hubler, and he was one of the first ever to go into the family business or into business consulting from the family side of things. And that was 30, 35 years ago. Today, you can find hundreds of people who claim to be experts in family business.
Okay. Well, you wrote an article, again, for thebizjournals.com, Twin Cities News. It's entitled "The Lesson of the Lund Battle: Feuds Are Costlier Than Forgiveness." Kind of give us an overview. I know there's a lot of great points we want to cover, but kind of give us an overview of how and why this article came about.
Well, it came about because I kept reading about family members who own businesses suing each other. And I thought, my heavens, how can you be suing your daughter or your dad or your sibling? And yet it happens apparently on a regular basis. And so I did some research and coalesced some stories around how the feuds, in other words, the lawsuits between family members, are much more costlier than just the forgiveness aspect of living with what the family member deems is inappropriate or wrong or something like that. And so I wrote an article about that.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about it. It's not uncommon for families to be in business together. And before we get into the actual article, where do you start as a family? Because really, most ideas just kind of blossom, don't they? All of a sudden, we're in business and we didn't really plan to be, which probably brings us to this article in the sense of the bigger we get, the more complicated things become.
Yeah, they do. You start a business. Usually mom or dad starts the business. The business grows. They're hiring employees. They procreate. They have kids. The kids grow up in the business. And before you know it, you got a family business with mom and dad or one of them working in the business and maybe some of the children working in it. And now things get really complicated. Look, families are complicated in and of themselves, without the additional stressor of a business. You throw a business on top of that, that business can actually, Dick, suck the love and the life out of a family if they're not careful. And that's often what can lead to the feuds and the lawsuits that go on here.
All right. Well, let's talk about seeking justice.
Yeah.
Because that destroys families and their businesses. You cited a couple of examples, and specifically the Lund family, but take that away, if you would, please.
Yeah. Kim Lund was part of the Lund family here. They own Lund's and Byerly's. For those outside the Twin Cities area, that's one of the core grocery store chains here in the Twin Cities. Kim Lund, one of the siblings, sought an $80 million through a lawsuit from her other siblings, but was only awarded $45.2 million. Over a 20-year period by the judge. She wanted to use it for philanthropy. And, you know, the grocery store business is a low-margin business. And they ended up settling somewhere in the middle. I think the brother offered her something like $12 million, and she wanted $80, and she wanted to give a bunch of it away, presumably. And the judge ended up right in the middle with that. And so, but here's the deal. The brother and the sister now are probably never going to talk to each other again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the real loss here. You know, there's another business in Newton, Pennsylvania. Nita Kaplan was successfully sued by her father and is now required to pay back $2.13 million because of poor business results and suspicions that she had been embezzling. And I saw the picture of this on the door of her business that was now closed, and part of it read, "My father suing me, there are no words for this."
Wow.
You know? And the article goes on to talk about several others. I've been personally involved in several of these where one sibling was suing the other, or maybe several siblings were suing one. And the real cost there is not the lawsuit. The cost is the loss of the family relations. And that cost is just huge.
Well, you say in your article, in all of these cases, several things were true. Let's talk about some of those.
Yeah, several things were true. And I'm trying to – yeah, here it is. Retaining money and power was more important than preserving family relations. This always stuns me.
Yeah.
Because in each one of these, there was one sibling who thought that they had been offended enough. Now, think about this. Let's say, Dick, you and I are brothers, and I think that you have offended me to the point where I actually need and am justified to go find a lawyer to sue you. How does that conversation go in your head, and how much hurt and anger do you have to get to that point? And to me, it becomes less about losing my relationship with my brother,
right,
and it becomes more about me needing to be right, getting what I'm entitled to, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it would make for a tough Thanksgiving, to say the least.
Well, there are no Thanksgivings.
There are no Thanksgivings.
No Christmases.
You know, it is a litigious generation in which we live. Logan and I were talking off mic a few minutes ago. There a couple of situations that are pending right now. I'm more offended. Your shirt offends me, and so you need to take it off because
you don't want me to take
No. But it was at a gym. A guy was wearing a red, white, and blue patriotic shirt, and a customer at the gym came up to him and said, "Your shirt offends me."
Oh.
And he responded with something to the effect of, "You know, I joined this particular gym so people like you wouldn't be offended." You know, it was just like, whose offense is the greatest? But in families, when it comes to lawsuits, this is beyond the pale.
It is beyond the pale. I can't imagine anything from a Christian viewpoint and from an eternal viewpoint. I can't imagine anything being worth suing over.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God calls us to suffer injustice. And I think from a Christian perspective, you know, we're all going to be dead in about 30 to 50 years anyways. None of this is going to matter. So why not just endure the suffering and be Christ-like towards your family members? It's just dumbfounding to me.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the need for justice and I'm Right, eclipsing the need to forgive. We'll talk about that. By the way, Jeffrey wanted you to know, Bill, that it is 47 degrees out on North Rice Lake today. Where his wife works.
47?
47 right now.
47. Is there snow tonight? Is there snow coming tonight?
He's got a snow emoji.
See, now watch it. Somebody's going to say, "I heard there was snow. I heard it
on
the radio."
No, it's not true. We're 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more with Bill English in just a moment. We're 19 past the hour. Thank you for joining us today. 877-933-2484 is the number to call or text if you have a question or comment for our good friend Bill English. Bill is a consultant for the Platinum Group. He's also owner, editor, content deliverer to BibleandBusiness.com. Check it out if you haven't already. And we're talking today really about feuds are costlier than forgiveness, a lesson from the Lund battle. And it's an article that Bill wrote and posted with the BizJournals.com Twin Cities News. And that's really kind of what we're talking about. When we last talked to you, Bill, we were going to talk about the need for justice and the need for I'm Right eclipsing the need to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness is really essential.
It is absolutely essential if you're going to have a family business, because families automatically, they always need to forgive each other anyways. Again, you throw the business on top of it and the stressor just can push a family over the edge. So forgiveness is one of the ways that the family builds love, and that love is the equity in which they can then successfully manage the business. Without love in the family and the forgiveness in the family that needs to be there, the business will eventually sap the family of every bit of its resources, and then both the family and the business will just fall apart.
You know, one of my lifelong friends from Illinois, his family owned a grocery store, and they had, they literally employed every member of the family, the in-laws.
The outlaws.
The outlaws. And there were a few divorces and things like that, and some family members passed away but still left in, you know, their spouses employed. And they really managed it well overall, because I don't think they ever lost the idea that we really are family. And so because you're my family member, you're my sister. He didn't have any brothers, so he had like five sisters.
Poor guy.
Them and their spouses were all incorporated at some level throughout. And I know forgiveness had to be a big part of that family dynamic and discussion.
Are we a family first and a business second, or are we a business first and, oh, by the way, you're part of the family? And that's a huge distinction. A lot of them are in the latter camp.
All right. If you have a question or a comment for Bill, you'd like to text or call, it's 877-933-2484. I think one of the obvious lessons in this discussion is the reality that the lawyers made a lot of money in these battles.
They do. Usually in these battles, and I'm in a couple of them right now with a couple different engagements that I have, the lawyers are the ones who are making money. The business is losing money. The family members are losing money. It's the lawyers who make the money here, and that's just the system that we have today.
Mm-hmm. Do you think everyone agrees? I mean, even the winning parties in these lawsuits, do they recognize that families, that the relationship is the greatest loss? Does that happen?
It does. And if you catch them in a quiet, private moment where they're reflective and they're able to separate their emotion from the situation, they'll tell you that the loss of the family relationships really is the greatest loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the loss of the business or who won the lawsuit or whatever. It's the loss of the family relations.
You know, who bears the brunt? This was something you stated in this article that absolutely floored me. I never thought about this aspect.
Yeah, when the siblings don't get along and there's cutoffs in the siblings, the ones who really bear the brunt are the nieces, the nephews, and the grandchildren. Because now you don't have certain aunts and uncles coming to school events. You're not getting together on Thanksgiving during family holidays or Christmas during family holidays. If you went to the same church, now you're going to a different church. And who's the one who bears the brunt? It's the kids. It's the third generation, because they don't grow up knowing their cousins. They don't grow up knowing their aunts and uncles, and that's a real tragedy.
Mm. Got a call, a text actually just a moment ago from one of our listeners, and says this: how do you politely tell a family member that you do not want to go into business with them?
I would say look at them and say, I don't think it'd be a good idea for you and me to be in business together. I would rather have a family relationship with you than a business relationship with you. And I think in business, you and I would not do very well together, so I'm going to opt out.
Oh, that's a great answer. Let's talk a little bit about, you're at the beginning of this kind of conflict. How can family members begin to resolve conflict? Because we want to avoid a lawsuit. That seems like the last place, the worst case scenario.
Yeah, in almost all of these situations, they're going to need third-party help. And so somebody like myself or somebody else who deals with family business needs to come in and have some conversations first independently with the warring parties and then together, and begin the process of bringing them together and finding out what their common interests are, where their clash points are, and then seeing if we can't facilitate their discussions around how to resolve their clash points. But you're probably going to need a third party to help out here.
Mm-hmm. Do you recognize or ask? Actually, we have a caller on line one. Is that correct? I think we're checking on this. We do have Julie from Carleton. Thank you for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings. Do you have a question or comment for Bill?
Hi. No, a comment. I was involved with a family business with brothers and a dad. And it really comes down to, as you know, the distinction of the Christian worldview versus secular. And I'm not going to excuse my family, but, you know, reconciling with people that buy into the message of it's business first. And, I dealt with a lot of just the behind-the-scenes betrayal, and it was pretty ugly. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon at all. But thank goodness I just had a biblical worldview, and I just peer through God, I was able to forgive them. And within 2 months after they forced me out of the business, I had to deal with Christmas. And just saying the Lord's Prayer when I got to forgive those who trespass against us, the word did not come back void. And I could look at them with great kindness and love and forgiveness, and knowing that, they're very, people would say evil and bad, but, it's like, should I be surprised the pagans are acting like pagans again? Really?
that really is the difference in the worldview, is it not?
It is.
Because, you came at this from a Christian worldview, so you had the power and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to help you, whereas those who don't know the Lord don't have that transforming power within them, and so we wouldn't expect them to act like Christians in the first place.
Exactly. So it's tough. So thanks for all you do, Bill.
Oh, okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Julie, thank you so much. Appreciate your comment today. Bill, we're about out of time. Last word?
Last word. Very quickly, forgiveness is agreeing to live with the hurt and the pain that you have caused me and letting God take the vengeance and entrusting that person to God's system of justice. God's system of justice, real quick, I know we're under time here, but God's system of justice, real quick, is this. If they come to Christ and he forgives their sin, then the justice was paid by Christ on the cross. If they don't come to Christ, they will pay for it after this life.
Mm, powerful. Julie, again, thank you for your comment today as well. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break for Breakpoint in just a few moments. 32 minutes past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. Coming up after this short news break and some impact audio, we're going to be talking to Bruce Ashford. He's a regular, as you know, provost of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his latest book, Letters to an American Christian. And we're going to be talking about the Thai cave rescue. There's some lessons to be learned, many actually, from that event. And we'll be talking with Bruce in just a few moments. We're 37 minutes past the hour. Derwin Gray, former NFL football player, pastor, and author, says many people never experience real love because they're afraid of getting hurt. Derwin used to be one of those people until God changed his life.
If people get close to you, they can hurt you. And that was my whole life experience. So I'd build a cage around my heart. If anybody's going to hurt me, it's going to be me. And eventually God in his grace said, son, it's better to be hurt loving than to be hurt not loving at all. And I know a lot about hurting and loving, but there's nothing as wonderful as people who get what it means to be loved by me.
That's Derwin Gray, again, NFL star, pastor, and author. If you'd like to hear more of this interview, go to our website, myfaithradio.com. In the search part, in search bar, rather, put Derwin, D-E-R-W-I-N, Derwin Gray, and you can find out more information. Coming up in just a minute or so, we're going to be talking to Bruce Ashford. He is the provost of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. His latest book is Letters to an American Christian. If you have a question or a comment for Bruce in this next segment, be ready to call or text 877-933-2484. More of Faith Radio Mornings in a moment.
Moms and dads often ask me for practical things they can do to improve their relationship with the teen. They're like, Mark, what can I do today to turn our relationship around? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Let me suggest five practical things to get you started. Just pick one. Here goes. Don't point out everything your kid could do better. Ask a question and listen for an answer. Don't share your opinion unless asked for it. Praise your son or daughter in public, and make time this week for a father-son or mother-daughter date. Connecting with your teen takes initiative. I hope one little change will make a big impact on your relationship with your teen.
There's more from Mark Gregston on the Parenting Today's Teens website. Go to parentingtodaysteens.org. parentingtodaysteens.org.
Minutes past the hour. It's Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Peter Kapsner. The new walk-up music for Bruce Ashford. Bruce is the provost of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. His latest book is Letters to an American Christian. And Bruce, welcome. Logan, can you give us a what is the name of Bruce's walk-up music?
I can't even do that. That's all Paul and Peter. That's not on me today. I have no idea.
So, Bruce, you had no idea either, I assume.
Well, you know, I'm going to let Peter, announce that next time. They've been trying to help me with some walk-on music, and I'm very grateful for it, you know. It makes me feel like a star of some sort.
Well, that's great. Well, we look forward to finding out more about the song, which should tell us more about you, I guess. Bruce, it's always great to have you on the air. When I'm home as a listener, I enjoy hearing your comments and your insights on life and culture, and, of course, your new book, Letters to an American Christian. Just very impactful, and excited to hear about that. We're going to talk about something, but I got to ask you, were you rooting for the American League All-Stars or the National League All-Stars last night?
You know, as a general rule, I'm a National League guy, but the older I get, the less allegiance I have to particular teams. You know, I just enjoy the sport and pull for individual players.
Well, that's
is that a good answer, or is that a bad one?
No, I think that's fair. I think, you know, some of us who are a little older than you, we have still allegiance to our teams for years and years, but players come and go with such great frequency. It really, you start following players instead of teams.
Well, I'm going to let you know a piece of information, and you're probably going to mock me for it. And I'm probably going to regret that I told you this, but when I grew up, I actually pulled for the Yankees and the Red Sox as a child. And you ask, how in the world did that happen? It's because I collected baseball cards, and I had rated rookies for Don Mattingly of the I had the rated rookie cards for Don Mattingly of the Yankees and for Roger Clemens of the Red Sox. They had like pages of rated rookies. And so that drove which teams I pulled for. Does that make me a bad person?
No, actually, both of them? The explanation makes perfect sense to a baseball fan. I can fully subscribe to that theory. So there you go. I grew up around St. Louis, so I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan, have been since a little kid. So I bleed Cardinal red, and we've been doing a lot of that lately. So, before we get on our topic, and I do want to talk about the Thailand cave rescue, because it's still on our minds, and there are so many gospel truths and lessons to be learned and things to take from that. But I do want your reaction to President Trump's missteps in Helsinki. He seemed to just kind of put his foot in his mouth and seemed to enjoy it, and now he's trying to get it out, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. He said he misspoke, and he said instead of wood, he should have been wooden. How do you react to that? How do we as believers, you know, where are we?
Yeah, you know, so a couple days ago, you know, I thought, here was my thought process, you know, as all this was unfolding. And it was, you know, this month, this past month, the past few weeks had been some of the brightest of the Trump presidency because of a very solid nomination to the Supreme Court and I think a very dignified and statesmanlike manner in which President Trump introduced Kavanaugh and so forth. But then immediately after that, you just, you know, and I'm not surprised by it because this is, you know, he's erratic in his statements and pronouncements. He basically calls the European Union a foe, an enemy of the U.S., and then picks Putin's side against our intelligence community. I think it was awful. It doesn't seem to me that it was a verbal misstep at all. I think he said what he said, and now he's trying to walk it back. I think it's really unfortunate. It's one of the worst things he said or done. Words matter. And I'm afraid that right now in the United States, words don't matter. And we need to get back to the place where words and sentences matter. When people say something, they mean it. And hopefully with our political leaders, it's something that's been well thought through and that's good for our country.
You know, I think back to the 90s, and I don't want you to necessarily comment on it, but it goes back to this. It was totally befuddling when President Clinton was trying to explain what the definition of is. And it feels like we're in the same, it's a back to the future kind of thing. Newt Gingrich said this could be not a fatal misstep, but certainly the worst misstep of President Trump's short presidential career. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think I would maybe go beyond it and say it's I think it's one of the worst public pronouncements in modern American politics. Historically, I thought it was awful.
Agreed. I do agree. 877-933-2484. If you have a question or a comment for Bruce Ashford today, we'd love to hear from you. We do have an article that he wrote for FoxNews.com, their opinion side, and we'll be talking about the Thailand cave rescue in just a moment. But if you have a question or a comment, you can call or text Bruce Ashford at 877-933-2484. We're going to take a short break, and when we are back with Bruce Ashford. 47 minutes past the hour, and Bruce Ashford is my guest. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Bruce is, of course, the provost of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. His new book, Letters to an American Christian, is out and available. And we got an update on your walk-up song. One of our listeners texted Bruce and says the walk-up song was Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. And it's a song in a group I'm not familiar with. I dropped out in the mid-70s after I became a follower of Jesus. So the 80s and 90s are lost to me. So don't ever call me for a lifeline.
Well, listen, I want to say thank you to the listener. You got some great people out there in Radio Land, and that was a positive and a solid contribution to the show this morning.
I was told, though, by Logan that the chorus can't be played over the air. So that's just saying we're not recommending that for the the listening public.
Okay.
Bruce, let's talk about your article. I thought it was fantastic, the Thai cave rescue. Don't forget the man who made the ultimate sacrifice so that boys and the coach could live. Could you elaborate just, you know, what were you hoping to accomplish with the article?
Yeah, so, the world really, I think, seemed legitimately captivated by this rescue, and I thought it was a great thing for the news shows to cover. It was an important event and a moving event. I think a lot of people prayed and were pulling for the rescuers to rescue these young boys. I thought what did get a little bit lost in the midst of the news cycle was this one volunteer diver. He's a retired military guy who ended up sacrificing his life on behalf of those boys. Fox contacted me and asked me if I wanted to write a piece on it, and I said absolutely. And so here's what happened. This guy volunteered and went in and took supplies to the boys, and then on the way back he was leaving some extra oxygen packs along the way in case any of the boys ran out of oxygen. They could kind of come up out of the water and pull one of the extra packs. And somehow the diver ran out of oxygen himself. And, in the midst of the just really toxic news cycle that we've got and the tribalized, polarized, just vitriolic sort of attacks that we're seeing from the left on the right and the right on the left, I thought this was a moment to step back and let this kind of story grip us for a moment. And it reminded me of a couple of things. The first thing that this sort of sacrificial death reminded me of is last year I went to watch Dunkirk.
Yes.
A movie. There are very few movies. I'm not much of a crier or a giggler, you know. I'm just not that kind of a guy. But in that movie, man, I got really broken up, just choked up emotionally as it depicted what these young British fighter pilots did in risking their life and many of them dying in order to save about 330,000 Allied troops that were trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk, trapped by the Nazis. And it reminded me, I was a journalist very briefly in college, and for the paper that I was working for allowed me to interview my own grandfather and do a two full-page spread on my grandfather. Grandfather was actually an Air Force colonel. The article improperly identifies him as Army, but he flew 25 combat missions over Europe, over the European theater, had his plane shot down. And he never wanted to talk about the war very much, but finally for this story he did. And for the first time in my life, I saw my grandfather broken up emotionally, unable to finish his sentences, as he talked about what it was like to see his friends shot out of the air as they were flying side by side with him. And I thought about how grateful we ought to be, those of us who've never experienced war, many of us, most of us in our nation, have never experienced a world war. How grateful we ought to be for these men who gave their lives so that we can be free. And then the second big thing is that I think that sort of sacrifice, you know, so that this hero, Saman Gunan, in the Thai cave rescue, I think should remind us of people in our own country who've given their life for us, and that both of those should remind us of a greater story and a bigger story of sacrificial love, and that's the love that Christ has given us. And do we have a couple minutes left?
Oh, please, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, here's the story. The Bible is 66 books, and numerous different authors in multiple genres. But it's the Bible's coherent, and its coherence, its unity, I think is primarily a narrative unity, that the Bible tells a story of God interacting with humanity, and the story can be told in three or four parts, or three or four acts. And the first act is that God created the world, placed us within it, and he designed the world and designed us to be a perfect fit so that we could flourish, so that we could experience unbroken justice, love, peace, order, delight. Things were exactly the way they were supposed to be. We had a right relationship with God, with the world around us, with each other. But regretfully, Adam and Eve were not happy with serving under the king. They wanted to be the king. And so they wanted to be able to determine morality for themselves. And so they committed treason. And when they did that, they set forth a chain of events in which all of us would sin just like Adam and Eve sinned, and all of us stand guilty before God, and none of us experience the sort of unbroken flourishing that God intended. We have a broken relationship with God, with each other, and with the world. So God's response in Genesis chapter 3 is to give a curse and a blessing. And the blessing is that he would send the seed of a woman. He would send a man born of a woman who would defeat or crush the serpent, would crush Satan. And that man born of a woman was Jesus Christ. And he lived the perfect life, the life that we should have lived, unbroken harmony, obedience, submission to God. And he died the death that we should have to die. And basically, he traded places with us. He took, here's how we would put it, he took our name, which is guilty one, and placed it on himself, and then took his name, righteous one, and placed it on us, so that he died in our place. And so if we believe on him and embrace him, God saves us in spite of ourselves, in spite of our sin. And the beautiful thing is that he will return one day, and he won't return as a suffering Savior dying on a cross. He will return as a conquering king, and he will set the world aright. He'll institute a one-world government and a one-party system with him at the head of it. It's just a beautiful and a powerful story. It's the most beautiful and powerful story ever told, and I think one of the reasons that a story about this Thai man sacrificing himself for us, one of the reasons it resonates so deeply is that God has woven this story into the fabric of the universe, and it's the ultimate story. It's the story that trumps all other stories. And so I hope that the story of the Thai cave rescue and that our reflections on American soldiers who have died on our behalf so that we could be free, I hope that they'll point us to this ultimate death, this ultimate sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf so that we can be set eternally free.
Bruce Ashford, my guest on Faith Radio Mornings. Bruce, thank you for your time. Thank you for the article on FoxNews.com, their opinion piece. It's the article is The Thai Cave Rescue. Let me encourage you to check it out. God bless you, Bruce. Have a great day, and we'll be back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in a moment. We're 57 minutes past the hour, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Dick Whitworth. Thanks again to Logan, Paul, and Rachel for their help this morning. Well, workplace-related stress alone costs society more than $300 billion per year, Logan. The personal finance website WalletHub today released its report on the most and least stressed cities in America. And I don't have time for the most stressed, but I can tell you that Madison, Wisconsin, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Bismarck, North Dakota are some of the least stress communities as it relates to workplace stress. How about that?
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I mean, that just makes me want to get my lawn chair out and leave. Sorry, Dick. Apparently, this isn't the place I need to be.
Well, if you live in Madison, Sioux Falls, or Bismarck today, enjoy the fact that it's one of the least stressful places to live as it relates to work. And by the way, hometown heroes, of course, we always want to thank our first responders, police, firefighters, medical folks who are on scenes of disasters and dangers. But we also want to salute again the Culvers in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Yesterday, they reached out to the community after the tragic explosion there a few days ago. The restaurant donated 50% of yesterday's sales to the Barr and Welch families. Captain Corey Barr was killed. Firefighter Ryan Welch was critically injured. And they did a great job and service to their community. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.